Hey, listeners, welcome to the AC Podcast. My name is Troy, and I am your host for today's episode. Today, I sit down with three Trinity Western University students, Marco, Rhea, and Jeremy. The three of them were invited by the UN to take part in what is called the United Nations Peace Summit. Listen to this week's episode as we discuss how this invitation led to a greater conversation about peace. What is biblical peace, and is it attainable? Let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the AC Podcast. My name is Troy, and I am here today with three special guests. This is a really special opportunity. I'm here with Marco, Rhea, and Jeremy, and we're about to have a really cool conversation about peace based around this incredible initiative and event and, I guess, kind of opportunity that the three of them got. And so I'm going to hand it over to them real quickly. Why don't you guys take a moment to introduce yourselves to the AC Podcast family.
Hello, everyone. My name is Marko Zolotarov. I'm Ukrainian international student here at Trinity Western University. I'm in my third year studying political science and psychology, as well as I'm vice president of student relations at our student association. And I'm so excited for this podcast. Thank you, Troy and AC Podcast, and excited to be here with my friends to discuss important things.
Hello, I'm Rhea Klar. I'm a fourth year biology student with a minor in psychology. I'm from Williams Lake, BC, and I'm the FNAS representative here at Trinity.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeremy Yostin. Thank you, Troy, for your time, and Apologetics Canada as well. I'm president of the student association here at Trinity. I study business and psychology, and I grew up in Seattle, Washington, not too far away, but far enough.
Nice. Well, thank you, all three of you, for taking the time out of your day. I know the life of a university student. I'm going to be honest. I don't miss university at all, but
it's very hectic.
I'm sure you have plenty of things to do. So we'll dive right into this conversation. Also, I have to say, Marco, it's good to have you back on the show. Marco, yeah. for those of you who don't know, we had him on a part one and part two of our podcast when we were having conversations about the war that is going on in Ukraine, and Marco was able to give us some insight in how to pray and what's going on. So again, Marco's becoming that quarterly special guest, it seems, that we have. So again, thank you for joining us. So when this conversation came to me, I was talking to Andy, and he was like, "Hey, you got to get these three on the podcast." And I was like, "Okay, what are we talking about, Andy?" And he was mentioning to me that the three of you went to something that is called the Peace Summit. And I'm really, really intrigued to hear from you what this is, and also how on earth did three Trinity students get invited to this thing, and what is going on there? So why don't you fill our listeners in?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first question there, what is the Global Peace Summit? Crazy story. We heard about it through our Career Center here on campus. Each one of us were in contact with them before. And, you know, we did these different challenges. We tried to figure ourselves out. And through that process, then they recommended this to us. And we were nominated. And originally, I have to be honest, I told you, I was like, no, I don't really know if peace is something that's tangible. You know, I don't know if that can actually exist. Because we know as Christians, there is one ultimate source of peace. But, you know, give me something like Eco-Friendly Green Summit or social advocacy, you know, and that's something real. Sure. So I was a little skeptical and hesitant going into it. But the more I looked at it, I saw it aligned with kind of like my own personal goals of bringing people together and talking about something that we all believe in as human beings, and that is peace. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to say that we are the solution to peace or the people there are the solution, but we all agree 100% that we can do better. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like what steered us in that direction. Now, at least me personally, I don't want to speak on behalf of Mark and Rhea, but yeah, if you guys want to jump in.
Yeah. So how did we hear about the opportunity to go there is through Career Center, and Trinity was nominated and invited to choose students who are able to go. And so that is a summit that happens for students around the world from different universities so that they can gather together with different views, with different backgrounds, with different degrees, actually, because we've met so many different people there. If I'm not mistaken, 35 countries?
It was about 35 countries, 300 plus people. Mm-hmm. They do this peace conference every year in January, and they have like one every quarter. for social advocacy, leadership, and the Climate Green Summit as well. So multiple different avenues.
That's super cool. Where was it? Where was it held? Was this in Vancouver or?
So this was held in Bangkok, Thailand, actually.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, carry on. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for me, I was really looking towards spiritual growth, taking on this opportunity. Scripture says, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall inherit the world. Yeah. And for me, this experience, I knew right away that the Lord had provided for me to show me and allow me to explore peace. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was incredibly interesting to ignite conversations about peace in such a secular environment where there are people from various religious backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was definitely kind of what caught my eye.
Okay,
and
so
and
it was
a huge bonus as well. Sorry for jumping in.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
This was at the UN Conference Center in Thailand, which was a huge bonus for us to go in and represent our school, our faith, our perspective as well.
Little Langley out there in Bangkok. Come on. Like, that
hallelujah.
That is so. Yeah, that's right. That's super, super cool. So, Jeremy, you were mentioning something about the challenges. Can you explain to us what were these challenges that you had to do?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges is like, okay, well, conceptually, at this conference, you know, these are master's, doctorate students. These are highly educated people from around the world who may not have the same upbringing and education that we have, right? And so, you know, Western philosophy, Western thought is completely different than Eastern. And like, the more you look at a global perspective, the more diverse it is. And so one of the things we were thinking about is like, how do we go about sticking to our Christian values as peacemakers in a post-Christian Western world, taking that then to Thailand, and like, how do we then advocate for it? So we did a lot of reading on our own time. We researched like, what do the UN believe in for peace, and how can we like go and speak about it? And we each have like different strategies for how we advocate for peace. But what we found is there's like three questions that we can like kind of use to steer people in a good direction towards peace. And the first one is, you know, what is peace? Seems like a simple question.
That's a great start.
Right? And it's like, it's so simple, but if you can't even define what peace is, then, you know, how can you even begin the conversation and the journey? And, you know, after that's been answered, then you can ask yourself, why do you exist? Why do I exist as a human being? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that is us as relational human beings interacting with each other. Whatever it is you do is going to affect somebody else. So in order to create peace, you got to keep that other person in the loop. You know, you got to keep them in mind. And then from that, you say, all right, now how do we create peace with those two answers in mind? And that's kind of like the strategy that we came to of how to really talk about it in kind of a secular and Christian environment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you see, those three questions were discussed there with a variety of different people, and young people were hearing perspectives of different speakers.
Yeah.
Who were invited there. And even though that might sound very philosophical, when you really think about them and you talk to other people and you share those ideas, or you root, you start rooting yourself in what you believe so that you can think of the ways how you can tangibly embrace your vision of peace. So we're speaking in secular language right now, but that's sort of the view of that.
For sure. I wonder if, while you were, you know, you're in the midst of studying, you're trying to look at, okay, this is what the UN believes about peace. And this is then reflected in how they, quote unquote, outsource their peace, right? And their the different systems, the way they approach war and those kinds of things. Did you find, as you were studying, these moments of tension, but also moments that felt like actually, it's like, man, they're so close to what biblical peace is, but there's just this missing, you know, obviously the missing piece being Jesus?
Yeah, I definitely did experience that. But I also believe that since there was such a diverse group of people with different backgrounds, they all, from their spirituality, do come to the consensus of how important peace is. Although they may not be followers of Christ, it was incredible to see kind of the spiritual overlaps that we all shared and connected with. And it's just so important to continue to foster an environment that represents Christ. And so that's what intentionally we did. And the conversations that we held were incredible regarding spirituality and peace.
One of the ways, back to the question about like when they're so close, but they're not quite there. Yeah. like I, when I did my research, I kind of found that, you know, Marco mentioned the word philosophy, and I think like that has a lot of potential. That word, that philosophy, that thinking about life and why you exist is a really good way to steer people in that direction of true peace. Because what it comes from is that human dignity. And that's what they kept talking about. That's what they kept pushing is, you know, at the end of the day, we're not talking conflicts between political parties, political governments. We're talking about human beings who are dying on both sides. And if that is the sole focus of what we talk about and what we preach and what we're advocating for, then we can live our lives as Christians to create like the brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world and uplift them and make sure that no soul is killed for any reason and just uplift them. And so that kind of humanistic thinking is what I found to be the most beneficial.
Yeah, there's something to be said about standing in a political arena, but looking to humanize people, right? You can you can vote left, right, upside, downside, all you want, but at bare minimum, we're talking person to person, we're talking people to people. And I think that is where there's so much room for the gospel, because when you set aside those things and you realize that your neighbor, who you've known for 30 years, and you've seen them every single day, you guys talk about cutting grass together, whatever it is, then all of a sudden there's this conflict that's going on in the world. Then you have a conversation, you realize, oh, we actually see things on polar opposites, but I know you. So that tells me that maybe there's actually more to this story, or maybe more to my perceived ideas of what I think is right than meets the eye, because I'm meeting someone in the flesh. And I think this is why social media is such a weird place, because most of the things we'd say to someone online, you would never say to me in person, or you'd be very bold to. Anyways, but Marco, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah. Actually, about social media, it's very interesting that I was visiting one event with different social workers and representatives in Abbotsford, and they were sharing that Canada has more hate speech crimes than in America, which was kind of surprising to me. But
doesn't surprise me, man.
which is very interesting. But beside that, we're talking when we were at the conference, I found it very interesting that they were speaking about spirituality and the essential part of building peace.
Interesting.
That was very interesting to me and surprising. However, the other thing that they mentioned is that we need to keep striving for peace. And so for me as Christian, when I look at this, there are two things that the organization admitted, is that peace is something that we need to keep striving for as human beings, as well as the spiritual aspect that is essential to us as human beings.
Yeah.
So what's really interesting is the fact that many of the guest speakers, they brought up themselves the importance of spirituality, whether that's from a Buddhist approach or whichever approach it is. Seeing those puzzles fit, especially coming from our own faith background, was really beautiful, because that in itself shows the importance of spirituality and connecting with the Lord when it comes to pursuing peace. And what's really interesting is at this conference, out of the 350 delegates, only 11 were selected to be summit leaders. What's really interesting is actually all three of us were selected to be three out of the 11, which again, to me, was certainly an action of the Lord. And even more incredible, out of us 11, two were selected to present the Global Peace Prize on the United Nations stage for all of the days of the conference. And this is actually a kind of beautiful story for me, but I was praying and I said, Lord, this is an incredible opportunity that I would love to partake in. And I'm going to just submit this at your feet and just allow the cross to take me wherever you want to take me. And within the next 24 hours, I got an email, and I was one of the two that got selected to present the World Peace Prize. And that in itself was so incredible, because every moment before presenting it on the stage, I would pray to the Lord, because I know that it is Him who brought me into this position. And I am walking on that stage and I am representing the Prince of Peace. And so for me, that was so beautiful.
That is beautiful. I'm not going to tear up on this podcast situation, because But that moments like that, it just blows everything out of the water sometimes, right? Because I find, and I'm sure as university students, you can understand this, especially being at a Bible college, how quickly and easily the Bible can become a textbook. Mm-hmm. You know, how much the Bible can be a means to a grade, can be a means to the next, right? And getting to see something that was maybe relatively in your field of study or in your sights become a moment where God's like, hey, I'm also just going to show you something special just because I'm God. And that's just what I like to do. But go and enjoy the Peace Summit, but also take a look at these extra things that I'm doing. Like, Rhea, I hear your prayers. And what those moments can do for you is incredible. I want to touch on one thing. You were briefly mentioning that there were some interesting conversations that you had while you were there. I would love to hear some of those conversations.
Yeah. So actually, connected to this story is many individuals there, they would ask me, Rhea, how were you selected to present the prize? How did this come to be? And there are other people themselves who applied and were looking forward to the selection. And I used this opportunity to bring in the Lord and share my faith. And that's where many interesting conversations started for me. Because actually, I don't come from a Christian family. I found the Lord very recently on my own, a year or two ago. Okay. And through that and sharing how I found the Lord and how I submitted this desire of my heart's, really made me spread the gospel and share the beauty in Christ.
That's so cool. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, right before we left, I started to read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. Because I was like, you know what? He does a great job of kind of explaining what it is. Let me refresh myself. And I remember there was a nice little pool on the hotel where we were at. And that's kind of actually where we met many of our close friends. Is the first day we all three of us showed up. You know, we were in our Trinity clothes. We're like, all right, let's go out and let's meet people. We sat at the pool. We met at least half a dozen different people from Argentina, Austria, Australia, a lot of A countries, as you can tell. but with that, you know, I remember having this conversation, and it was with a friend of ours who was from Austria, and she was kind of questioning. She's like, well, you know, I don't really know in the existence of God. I don't know if people are inherently good. I was kind of pushing her on that. I was like, all right, well, let's think about this for a second, right? I'm pulling directly now from Mere Christianity. Like, when a child is born, you know, and you look at it from, like, newborn until a couple years old, do they know what is good or do they know what is bad? And, you know, a child doesn't just take to spite somebody else, you know, and they'll apologize. They'll share. If you give a little kid a cookie, they'll want to, like, break it and they'll offer it to you, right? And so that alone suggests that it's intuitive to us as human beings that we are oriented towards good. And if you can go to anywhere around the world and see that same story, you know, you could be from Antarctica and you're going to have, you know, children doing the same thing. So if that is the common theme, if that is the signature that is on every human heart, then there has to be something good, capital G good. And, you know, this is like that conversation that then we can start going a little bit more into detail in. But we have to approach it from like a 180 degree as if people don't know anything about Christianity, because at some points we do. And it's just recognizing that aspect, right? And that was kind of one of my favorite conversations from it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
For me personally, it was a wonderful time of connecting with different people and asking, why are you here? And it was very encouraging to hear different reasons of why people were there, to learn about other perspectives, and then also, well, hear the speakers, absolutely. And there is a passion to be equipped so that from the conference so that they can promote peace in the areas where they live, in the province where they live, in the country, and globally, right? That's and so what really touched me, and then I was actually like, I was praying in the beginning of the conference as they're showing the previous year video. I was asking a question. I was praying inside myself, asking God, are you in this? Because experiencing war and knowing how big organizations are making a big impact, sometimes it takes, you know, you hear different stories about the things that can be promised not always get delivered. And so it happens because of the bureaucracy and all of the other things and the functions. And so I was asking myself, God, are you in this? Are you working in this place? And after hearing the speakers talking to young leaders, young emerging leaders, as I believe. Also meeting a few Christian people, a guy, Matt from Winnipeg, as well as
Winnipeg.
Some other.
Matt. Shout out, Matt.
Shout out, Matt from Winnipeg. You know what? We'll find him for you guys. It can't be hard to track him down.
And some other missionary kids. It was encouraging to see that. And so what really touched me is that this thought that happened to me after I was watching the video from the Curin conference that just happened, is that seeing how we're learning, we're desiring peace in our lives, in our families, in the things that we care about. And I care about peace in Ukraine, in my city, in my friend's life. Rhea cares and has passion to climate change and those issues. Jeremy has his own thing.
don't you do Jeremy like that.
Which is what, Jeremy, so that it's not.
Don't do Jeremy like that. Jeremy is just here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the international stage. I want to bring countries and people together. That's what I want.
And he's passionate to bring people together so that we can effectively bring peace in different areas.
That's awesome.
But the thing that God has been at work in that organization around the world. And so when we're praying, sometimes I think, oh God, join us. Like, we invite you in this place so that you can move. For me, it was a revelation moment that God has already been at work in that place. And yes, I'm joining him in this mission. And I'm joining the people that are around me to join this peacekeeping mission of our lives.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said about recognizing God's already in the midst of even things that we thought, like, God, you wouldn't touch that. Like, there's no way you'd be. It's the UN. How are there going to be Christians in there? How are going to be believers in there? And, you know, it's crazy because I'm, just as you were talking, and I think when I start thinking about the three of you and the opportunity for the three of you to go there from Trinity in Langley, in places that all the way over to Bangkok, and how easy it could have been for you to just discredit yourselves, right? God, how are we supposed to be of any influence? How are we supposed to say anything of any consequence when we're just these three? And immediately what was popping into my mind was the joy that I can see in you and not seeing yourself like Gideon did. Right, Judges 6, you see this interaction between God and Gideon. And if you were to imagine just for a moment, you see Gideon, you know, he's making wine in the middle of a war, right? The Midianites are attacking the Israelites. There's this whole scenario, and Gideon's over there making wine, and no one really wonders why. But God says to Gideon, like, hey, mighty warrior, get up. And Gideon immediately starts rattling off, hey, but Lord, if this is you, now that you're talking to me, now that I got your ear, how come you haven't done all these things? Why haven't you done X, Y, Z? I got all these concerns. And what I loved about how God responded to him was he really said, get up with the strength I've given you and go. Have I not sent you? Right? It's that reminder of, what do you mean that there's no God in the midst? What do you mean there's no prayer in the midst? Have I not sent you? So it's really cool that even for the three of you to go in there, if you can go in with that mindset, it means anyone can go into any situation as a believer and truly know, okay, God, I might be the only believer, but I'm enough because you're with me. And it's super cool. And I just kind of see the joy that is just kind of exuding from the three of you because of something like that. And I want to start talking a little bit more about what peace has meant to you or looked like for you personally. And maybe Marco, it'd be great to start with you, because I remember we had a conversation, or you had a conversation with Andy, right? And I feel like I had the conversation because I edit the podcast and produce it. So I was like, yeah, that's right, Marco. Amen. But you can't hear me. But what was it like for you going to the UN and, you know, with your team and hearing them talk about peace coming from a country that in a lot of ways is crying out for peace, has felt the effects very, very recently and presently of war?
It's a good question. Thank you, Troy. I think that, first of all, I was very honored to be at the conference where people were recognizing what is wrong and what is happening in my country, the war and the pain that people are experiencing. Right now, recently, I saw that one of my childhood friends actually lost his dad. He was a soldier. Mm. He was killed on the front lines. Being there and seeing that there are young leaders. And at the moment, all that we can do, at least most of us can do, is contribute to understanding in around our peers, our families, our social networks, our groups. I saw the compassion and understanding that there are things that are wrong. The war is wrong. And that felt comforting that I'm not alone around those 350 people.
Yeah.
We are on the same page, and a little bit of poli-sci in me saying that we're talking about democratic values here as well. And I believe in any context, politics aside, that we would agree that war is wrong. That's never the end goal. Peace. It's support of the people who are around you. Understanding that sometimes we need to fight in order to gain peace, unfortunately.
Oh, and they're not going to like that. Hold on. Don't get me canceled. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Well, I can put that
aside. You're fine. Well. No. The reason I'm joking with you is because that is a very sensitive aspect of talking about peace. It is a very, very touch and go subject where people, to be completely honest, don't want to go there. But when we look at scripture, when we look at the Bible, I mean, the mm-hmm. Old Testament, you see countless wars for the sake of what God was doing. But here's where we mess up is we assume that God wants war. It's like, no, God doesn't want war. But unfortunately, the world we're in, he's going to use man's means for his ends. And that can be a really sensitive thing. So you're good. No one's going to send you an email, all right? You're fine. What about yourself, Rhea? Has there been something about this, you know, maybe the Peace Summit or just constantly going through these conversations about what is peace? As you guys are saying, it's ever evolving and is difficult to define.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Yeah, it is definitely difficult to navigate, but I came to the consensus that what peace to me at the core is Christ. And for me to foster peace, it begins with pursuing Jesus because he is synonymous with peace.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's something that I see that the world needs more of. For us to create peace, to spread peace, we must spread Jesus. And I see that even reflected in the Israeli-Palestinian war. I see that in many wars around the world, that what we need is we need to pursue Christ and submit to him.
Yeah.
Because peace, I believe, is humility. It's a humbleness. It's an agreement that there is a greater God beyond our flesh, beyond our humanness. And in that, we are connected and we are one. And so for me, it's definitely interesting because there are certainly varying definitions. But I've really come to know that it's as simple as that, that peace is defined by the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm. You got it. That's right. I can imagine that, you know, in your position at Trinity, you're constantly kind of having these conversations with, you know, maybe you're having conversations with students for around something like, okay, the different wars that have been going on perhaps, and maybe just things that are happening in our own nation. What does it look like for you as a person in your position to really try and embody peace and fight for unity, whether it's been in your study or just on campus?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first part is like recognizing that peace itself has to be an inherent lifelong journey. Like what I think of peace right now is not the peace that I will carry with me throughout the rest of my life. It's the goal that I'm aiming for. And you know, that process is something that I think everybody is called to do. And like Rhea said, the Prince of Peace is the goal.
Yeah.
And so as we continue to develop in that, I think it's crucial. And this is the aspect and avenue that any Christian can go on. And I know there's people out there who may be listening to this who are hesitant to go into politics or advocacy because they feel like it's inherently an anti-Christian place. Peace is the solution to get into politics, to advocate for human beings. To care for that human soul who is there. Peace is the best place for us as Christians to gather around, not just in Canada, but the whole world, and to pursue that, right? And, you know, how peace, and back to your question, how peace interacts with my daily life, you know, we can so easily lose sight of it. In the day-to-day grind, you know, as we go about and we're getting things done, we're just checking off. It's really easy to get into the routine. And when you're in the routine, you forget kind of your calling to recognize other humans. People is who they are, right? And so you're going to ignore this one person. You're not going to be as patient with this other person because you have something else that you need to get to. It's like, no, I got to recognize you right here, right now, in this moment, and give you the full attention that you deserve because you are the priority in my life. You know, tests, quizzes, papers, homework assignments, whatever's going on campus, whatever's going on in my life, I need to be here with you because you matter. And I need to show that to you because that is the same thing that Christ would do to us, right? And so like that, you know, there are times when, like, I know I've struggled in my position and, you know, it's everyday life. This is humanity. And we still keep going. And that's why it's that journey. If you guys want to jump in.
I just want to add, it is important to pursue Christ, but that doesn't mean that you mute discomfort. It doesn't mean that just because you're suffering that you should silence it and that you're not allowed to speak it or you don't have the right to speak it. Because perhaps there's a notion that Christ takes all care of it, so you shouldn't feel sad or hurt. And I want to speak on this because it's so important. Mm-hmm. And a key point that we learned at the summit was when you are faced with discomfort, you confront it. Even though you are embodying Christ, it doesn't mean that Christ doesn't confront pain or suffering. He actually confronts it head on.
That's right.
He defeats pain. And so I want to encourage everybody who's listening, don't suppress your emotions. Don't suppress discomfort. You speak on it. You fight for it. Mm. But you do walk in grace, in justice, and in love, and with patience. Yeah. And there are ways properly to approach it. But I want to encourage you all, peace does not mean silence.
Yes. Very good.
That's really well said.
If I could add my part as well to what Rhea was saying and Jeremy, I also believe that we're talking about being proactive. We're talking about proactiveness. Yeah. What can I do? And we, at the summit, there is one European friend also from Austria who asked, well, I feel so privileged living in Europe, so can I really do anything to contribute to the peace? I feel that I'm not able to. And I believe that we do. Yeah. Every person can contribute. And I want to encourage anyone who have been struggling and thinking that, oh, I'm not good at this or I'm not able. God will use you and your abilities, your gifts, your traumas. I've been reflecting on that too, that being traumatized by war, I'm a completely different person. Mm-hmm. However, God uses your life in your life circumstances for his glory to bring peace in other people's lives. So we are becoming instrument of God to spread his kingdom in other people's lives. And that's why it's very important for us to continue investing in our relationships with God, first of all, as our foundation. It's coming back to the root because he is the vine, John 15, I think, verse 5 and 6. And he does the pruning for us as well. And that is painful. And sometimes I can view my experiences also as pruning as well. And I take heart. And there are seasons that I feel discouraged and I feel passive. I'm just unmotivated. And that is fine. However, I get up and continue to intentionally build my relationship with Christ. And then Holy Spirit moves in me and he opens my eyes to see the needs that I want to take care of, the passions that I have to promote peace. Yeah. And I think that is very beautiful. And that happens only in our intentional relationships with Christ when we seek them and actively pursue them.
And like tying these three comments together then in like a little soundbite, if we could, is that, you know, your privilege turns into passivity if you're not being proactive in what you're doing, right? And so,
hey, preacher man, I hear you.
Yeah, it's you just got to be active, you know, and it's easy to forget about that. But we are all very privileged to be here in Canada at this very moment in time. And, you know, we can't forget that. We need to uplift with what we have, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting how multiple times in Scripture you see specifically with Jesus is, you know, you see him say things like, Lord, I don't pray that you take them away from trouble, but I pray that their faith would stand, that you would protect them from the evil one, right? I think back to even the, you know, how people perceived Jesus, you know, what they thought, or the Messiah rather. They saw the Messiah as this person who was going to come and violently and ferociously free them from the Roman rule. And he showed you that spiritual bondage is worse than physical, right? And that's accentuated when you look at the life of Paul, right? They're worshiping in the jail cell. And what did it do? It created a violent expression and caused the jail to swing wide open. But it was their peace that caused it, their peace that was rooted in Christ, as you've all been accentuating, but it required the work, right? It's interesting how it wasn't like it was just, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to have peace. Well, peace is active. They were worshiping, they were praying, they were being kind to the people that were had them enslaved, had them jailed. And then even when they were freed, this is what peace does. When you are freed from your bondage, because you've already been in peace, you can take a look at those that are in close proximity, even those that were your captors, and do what it takes to set them free. Because they're going to ask the questions, oh my gosh, what is it about you? And they're like, you know what? It's this God in me who actually loves you, and he's got something for you. It's just, I love that you were able to go and see very tangibly in what many would call a secular setting. But I would wager that it couldn't have been so secular if there were three powerful believers in the midst. Then that means that there's somebody praying and interceding for that atmosphere. And, you know, I'm really excited. If you have anything you want to add to that, feel free. But I wanted to just ask you guys, as we're kind of coming to the end here, what is next for the three of you? You know, this power team of peace, what are the next steps for you?
There are different directions that we choose. To add up to what we are saying is that using the privilege not to justify the means of being passive, but rather use our opportunities that we're given in life, and privilege, the popular word, to bless others. And that can look different in everyone's life. And so, for example, in my life, where this conversation about peace, conference, this encouragement leads me is that we have Ukrainian refugee community in British Columbia. And I think that is important for us as Christians to continue, for me as a person, Ukrainian, who've been here for 5 years, is to continue help my friends with connections, finding jobs, resettlement. My childhood friend, another childhood friend recently came to Canada, picked him up from Abbotsford, so many cities at the same second, from Vancouver. It's my ESL problem. I had to say that.
You're good, man.
Working with Ukrainians, helping. And one of the important things that I want to mention is going to Canada National Prayer Breakfast. And me and my dad, as Andrei Zolotarov, pastor of Ukrainian Bible Church, we're going there because we believe as Christians, we got to be there and pray for Canada, for the country that we live in, for the country of our asylum. We're going to stand and pray with leaders and show example as Christians that we care about what's happening in our country. We care for the people that are coming in. We care for Ukrainians. And that's why we're there with them, praying on our knees for a country of Canada. So that is my direction where I go. And so anyone is interested, they can contact me and we can... talk about Ukraine and resettlement in Canada.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and so for me, it's really incredible because this opportunity in itself has propelled more opportunities. So I was actually able to be on the largest South Asian radio station this year.
Wow, so I was able congrats.
So it was so incredible because I have been praying. I want Christ to spread in the Punjabi community. Mm-hmm. And through this radio station, I was able to share my story of how God brought me to the summit. And so for me, I'm really passionate about working towards ways to spread Christ in our community, especially the radio station. They want to film further shows with me and talk about how currently our generation, the generation of, first generation Canadians, we're seeing an epidemic of drug problems with children my age. And I want to speak on that. And I want to speak on how God has changed my life. And I'm hoping to use this experience to further Christianity in my Indian community. It's also been a great way to speak on climate change. Climate change is something I'm very, very passionate about, creation care. Yeah. And so I'm working on projects regarding that. And just advocating for peace and Christ in any platform and opportunity that I get is kind of what I'm working on.
Very cool. Very cool. And yourself, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, this is the big question that kind of keeps me up at night, you know? Every college student, you know, what am I doing next?
Yeah.
The opportunities through this conference itself to represent Trinity, to represent the students, to just be everywhere, I mean, have been huge and truly life-changing. You know, I've looked at NGOs, I've looked at business, I've looked at politics, you know, and what I really just want to do is advocate to bring people together. You put me in a room of strangers, I guarantee I'll find something in common with every one of them. At least, you know, just a tiny bit. My family is crazy diverse. You know, I have three adopted siblings from Georgia, Guatemala, Mongolia. My mom is from Africa. My dad is born up here. It's like, it's just my story I want to share with other people because it can bring people together behind something that is true and good and virtuous. And, you know, I want to learn how to tell a story that can bring people together. You know, there's so many problems in the world, and it's not that people don't care. I believe they do. I know they do. But it's just, how are we presenting that story? Because right now, sometimes it may be falling on deaf ears. And so what can I do in my part with whatever channels I'm pursuing to go and tell that sort of story to ears who may not have heard it for the first time? I don't know. But we'll see. I just want to learn to do that. So.
No, that's great. It's really interesting because all three of you have actually identified something that really actually affirms something that Apologetics Canada has been doing for, I guess now it's been 2 years. We started this initiative, this event called the Leadership Summit, and we hold it in October. We hold one out here in BC, but we also hold one in Ontario. And our next one's October 18th to the 20th. And really what the goal of it is to identify young thought leaders, right? And in varying capacities, right? Because there's people that are, you know, just, and I don't say every day to say mundane, but I say the everyday Christian who just, man, I love the Lord. I go to church, but I just want to learn how to be, lead my life according to the gospel and be a greater influence in my community. Then you have people like yourselves who are in university and they're navigating, whether it's Bible college or just university in general. But then that step further, you're doing things like going to the UN and going to these summits. And it's been really, really cool meeting all kinds of leaders from those varying stages and levels. And we come together for a weekend and it's a time of networking and it's equipping and we have conversations all about what it means to be a leader in our specific capacities, whether it's from the, you know, the business, how do we minister to the CEO? How do I be a Christian leader? How do I go more than being just a title leader? I'm a manager in title, but would they follow me if I didn't carry this title, right? And I want to formally invite the three of you because to, you know, it's an application process. You can go to apologeticscanada.com/leadership-summit. And it would be really, really cool to have you three, especially with your perspectives and just kind of the things that you're pursuing to come and attend and also engage in those conversations, right? Because I think there's so many people at your age bracket that are thinking about those same things. Like, God, I want to make a greater impact. Humbly, I want to make a greater impact, but I don't want to see myself as small and incapable because I'm with you. But at the same time, it is not lost on me that this is daunting. This is a major issue. This is a big thing. Climate change is not small. Mm-hmm. Peace is not small. You know, being a major rep on a school like that is not small. But God, you've placed me here. Mm-hmm. So this is my staff. This is my rod. What do I do with it? You know, and it's been really, really insightful, even for me as one of the facilitators of it, because I'm sitting here just learning from people that are attending and having the time of my life. So that just a brief plug. I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't invite you to that. And I'll send Marco a link to it later and he can get it to you guys. But
thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Honestly, on behalf of AC, thank you for sharing with us and spending this time with us together. I'm super honored. I'm super glad I got to be on this podcast. So thanks, Andy, because I'm really encouraged by this, because these are really important conversations, and this is important stuff for, like I said, for university students, people around your age bracket, to really see, man, God is doing it. And he's doing it with those that are unsuspecting, but he's doing it with those that are willing.
Amen.
And so it's not insane to believe for it, as we heard, especially with Rhea and, you know, those little moments of prayer. It's not insane to believe for it. And I think this is the last thing I would say as we close here is, whether you're, you know, listeners, peace is something that absolutely is God's heart, because it is who he is, right? Mm-hmm. In the midst of all of the things that are going on in this world, he truly is our foundation. And don't fall into the lie that just because it feels unattainable to you, that we can't experience the fruit of it now, right? This is that on earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. experiencing those moments of peace, whether it is from anxiety, whether it's from depression, whether you're fleeing a war-torn country, God is big enough to handle it all. And we find it in his word. We find it in communion with him. We find it through prayer and worship and consecration. That peace, may it only be for a moment, is absolutely tangible for us, and God is going to continue fulfilling that in us. So once again, thank you three for joining us on the AC Podcast. Listeners, make sure to like and subscribe on all platforms. And you know what? Go check out Trinity Western University. They got a lot of really cool things going on there. We got a lot of love for that university. And, you know, as always, in the meantime, you know the drill. Love God, love people. Bye for now.
It's the AC Podcast.